Well, as Father Tyler said last week, we're back in ordinary time now, and ordinary doesn't mean boring or uninteresting, but it means getting kind of back to basics, if you will, with regard to our Christian faith and how we live our Christian faith. Today we hear about the calling of the first disciples who left everything to follow Jesus after Jesus had said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." This gospel highlights the urgency that Peter, Andrew, James, and John had when Jesus called them. James and John even left their own father behind to follow Jesus. Why? The answer has everything to do with exactly who they are following. They're not just following somebody who's honorable or distinguished or a really remarkable teacher, but no, they see that he has real power and he has real authority. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this isn't just an empty platitude. It's a reality that Jesus is bringing into being the kingdom of heaven. How do we know this? Well, it has everything to do with Zebulun and Naphtali, mentioned in the first reading and mentioned again in the gospel. These were regions in the northern kingdom of Israel that were previously ransacked and invaded by Israel's enemy, the Assyrians. And God allowed the Assyrians to take them over and send them into exile because they kept turning away from him. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, and they were not faithful to it. They fell into the worst sin of all, the sin of idolatry, over and over again, treating something other than God as though it were the most important thing, a place which can only be taken by God himself. And the prophets, especially Elijah, Elisha, who came after him, and then the prophet Amos, the prophets warned the people of Israel over and over to turn back to the Lord and to turn away from their sin, but they just didn't listen. And we know that this applies in our lives as well. If we don't repent after we have sinned, the ultimate consequence of that is hell, total separation from God and from the promises that he offered to us because we preferred something else. But here, the image of that is exile, expulsion from the land which God gave to the people, and the land itself being overtaken and even desecrated by the enemy. Zebulun and Naphtali appeared completely lost. But in this context, Isaiah prophesied about the great joy that God would bring by restoring the land and restoring the people. Though they had turned away from him and thus ended up in exile, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in a land of gloom, i.e. in exile, a light has shone. God has brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, and he has smashed the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder and the rod of their taskmaster. I love that. He smashed what was oppressing them, what was enslaving them. And here's the best part of all of that. Ultimately, the condition that the people were in, first the idolatry, which eventually led to the exile, that was completely their fault. But God had mercy on them because of just how good he is. No other reason. He just intensely wants his people back, and all he wants is to forgive their sins and to bring them back to himself, safe and sound, forever. I hope that this Isaiah reading sounds familiar to you, because we hear it at one other point during the liturgical year. Anybody know when? I know you know, Father Tyler. It's on Christmas. This is the first reading that we hear on Christmas. Why is that? Because on Christmas, we recall exactly how God wants to achieve this reconciliation, not only with his people, Israel, but also with all of humanity. He sent his son, Jesus, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. And not only did Jesus come to be with us, but he came to put an end to the exile that all of humanity was implicated in. By dying, he destroyed our death, and by rising from the dead, restored our life. He is the light which has shone on the people, all of us, who dwelt in a land of gloom. Jesus is the only one who has the authority and the ability to smash that yoke that burdened us. What yoke? The yoke of suffering, of sin, and of death. Before Jesus came, the devil was our taskmaster, and we were lost. Sin and death were things that were just par for the course of human existence. Everybody sinned, and nobody was without sin, and everybody was going to die. And we had no reconciliation. But now that Jesus has come, even though sin and death still exist, and we know that both of them still exist, they yet have been robbed of their power. Jesus, being God in the flesh, put our enmity with God to death by nailing it to the cross. Our sin no longer separates us from God so long as we receive his mercy given to us by Jesus. And our bodily death isn't the end for us anymore. We look forward to the life of the world to come, heaven, the greatest fulfillment of every single one of our desires, culminating in seeing the triune God face to face. Because Jesus has opened it back up for us forever. This is why he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Encountering Jesus has to lead to us choosing to follow him. We have to respond to him in the way that Peter, Andrew, James, and John did, by leaving everything behind to follow him. This is why we have to say to the Lord, "Jesus, you really are the most important thing in my life." And we have to mean it. Jesus calls us to discipleship, and that means very radical things, as we'll hear in the gospel throughout the year. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Not only don't kill other people, but don't even harbor anger towards them. Not only don't commit adultery, but don't even look at a woman with lust. Be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Why do we strive to live up to this and obey these things? It's because of who is commanding this of us. These precepts and teachings come from the very mouth of God himself. God incarnate, that's who Jesus is. He teaches us with his divine authority, and so we attentively listen and we follow him. Today, let's ask the Lord in prayer, "Lord, where are you calling me to follow you more closely? Where are you calling me to deeper discipleship? Where do I need to recommit myself to being your disciple, Jesus?" If we ask him those questions, then we're demonstrating a willingness to have him show us what it means when he says to us individually, "Come and follow me." Let's ask him in prayer to show us how he wants us to become the best disciples we can be. Because ultimately, through his grace and his constant help, if we remain open to him, he will make us into the saints that he destined us to be from the beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.